Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I do believe God has a word for us today. And it started when Chris and I started thinking about new seasons in life. My retirement is a promise to Chris. Probably the first year we got married, we thought we would do everything together. And so I told him, we said to each other, whoever retires first, the other person would retire alongside of them. So that's the reason. But when you retire when you're older and when you have gray hair, which my girls always say, no time yet, Mom. Then, you know, people will say, oh, you're in the winter season of your life. And it kind of sounds like, ooh, you know, like it's just a sad ending. But when you look at seasons in the Bible, God has given them for our flourishing. He's given them to us so we can produce fruit and have abundant living here on earth. And I would like to start with just giving you two promises from God's word about seasons. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And that's true. When you're in winter season, it's really hard sometimes to look at the summer or the spring. In Genesis 8:22, we read, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. And so we're going to look today at the soil. And the soil is a parable for our heart. And Jesus himself in Luke 8, verses 5 and 15, gave that word picture to people. He often preached on hillsides and asked the people to look at the nature around them. Like he said, why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Because I'm a lady. Look at the lilies in the field. See how beautiful they're clothed. Or why do you worry about food? Look at the sparrows. Look at the birds. So today we're going to look at what happens in the soil during four seasons that God has given. That's how he ordered the earth. And we're going to see, and I believe I've been led to draw at one point for every season. And we're going to start with winter. Because we're celebrating retirement, people have said, this is the winter of your time. Okay. We know that soil is essential to life and the well-being of our planet. And our heart health is very important to the flourishing of our life, how we do life. The soil protects roots and animals. I've learned a lot by looking at the soil life. And one thing had never occurred to me. I thought in winter, because on the surface you see barrenness, the crops are dried up, you see stubble, unless there's a lot of snow that covers it. And you think in winter there's no activity, it's dead, but it isn't. When I took a very simple little study of soil, the microbes, very, very, very deep in a deep level, are active. And they're working to restore the health of the soil so that when spring comes, good things are there for use. There's nutrients that are activated. It is so amazing what the microbes do very, very deeply in the soil. But soil needs rest. So in the winter time, you need to rest. Rest is important. When we heard the news of Cheryl's passing, my first image of soil, quiet, rest time had been kind of what we experience at Christmas time. We're sitting there, maybe warm, fuzzy slippers on our feet, hot cocoa, a good book to read, and we're resting from work. A lot of people have been able to take time off work. So the activity on the top layer is still and peaceful, and it's so great just to rest. But guess what? Suddenly an icy windstorm can come, and you're not holding that hot cocoa. And you think, how can I rest in this? What I want us to take away, what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to take away from this, is the secret to keeping our soils and hearts healthy in winter is trusting in His presence and resting in His presence. Just like the microbes are at work when we can't see them, and sometimes we don't even know, like myself, that that is happening in soil. I want you to know that that is happening. God's presence is at work in your life, whether you're aware of it or not. But when you still yourself and take those moments to breathe, to just let everything else go and listen, you will know that God is active in your heart and in your life. And in Matthew, there's this invitation from Jesus that speaks to that. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In those winter times, in those stormy times, we don't want someone saying to us, buck up now. What we need is quiet rest. And God knows that. And He will provide that for you. In Hebrews 4:9, there is a promise. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rest from their works, just as God did from His. Rest is a gift from God. It is vital to our spiritual well-being and also to our physical and mental health. In this season, take time for stillness. If you are in a winter season of life, and you know what? Winter seasons can come when it's summertime on the earth. These seasons don't naturally correspond with the seasons we are giving. But when you're quiet, just like I had to learn about the microbes working so deep, deep in the soil, take this time to be aware of God's working in your life and in your heart. I think that's a word from God for someone here today. God is at work in your life. He's ever present. Here's an encouragement for you before we head into spring. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Now, spring. Spring is the season that spoke most to me, because I am one of those eager beavers that as soon as the garden centers open, I want to sing, this is the most wonderful time of the year. I will, if Mr. Chris isn't with me shopping, I will bring home plants, and then he will say to me, honey, way too early to plant. You know this, and I do know that. But I just say, I can't help myself, which I can. But then, you know, the plants don't make it sometimes. And when I studied soil, guess what? That is the most precarious time for soil in the natural world, just for that reason. because you can't plant too soon. Soil needs a particular way for life to be able to flourish. The showery conditions give them water. There's longer days. But the soil needs to wake up. When you force the plant into the soil and it's still a little bit of frozen, those tender little roots won't grow. Or if they, by some miracle, survive, you'll get this little wee little crop or these wee little flowers. That's not what you had planned for or intended. We need to be mindful of transitions. And we need to take great care during time of new possibilities and planting our own ideas and planning. When we get carried away, our hearts can get into trouble, leading to failure and sometimes even damage. And disappointment, which leads to discouragement and our inability to actually fulfill the plans that God had intended for us. Plants manage the shift from winter to spring by receiving a steady stream of water. And our hearts need that steady stream of the water of life. Wait to plant. Resist the temptation to get an early start on the garden. Digging in early spring when the soil is often wet can damage the soil structure. Wait until the soil has dried out. How do we do that? Well, we wait on God, we sit with His Word, and we trust that He will speak to us. In Proverbs 14, we read, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." Take that time to plan your garden and trust in God to help you with the planning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. You know, one of the reasons why I just carry home those little plants early, because I think, well, what if someone else comes along and takes that plant that I want for my garden? And when it's actually time, it won't be there. And then I can't even fathom a garden without that one little plant in it. But when I wait, there is always a plant that, when I'm really honest, I love more than the first one I saw. Wait. And I'm very thankful to have Mr. Chris by my side at that time, who cautions me, and he tries really hard not to crush my enthusiasm. That's not always easy. Keep your heart quiet and healthy in this season is trusting. This is the second point in God's sovereignty. He has made you and He has given you a plan for your life. And Pastor Barry, or maybe it was Mark, I can't remember, I'm sorry, said this verse for Chris in our life. "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. For the Lord is our sun and our shield," we read in Psalms. "He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will not withhold any good thing from those who do what is right." He's not going to withhold anything from us. He won't. And I should know this, but sometimes I forget. So it's good to have a reminder. Now we come into summertime. In summer, it's called summer survival. Keep your garden cool. And when I see the families sitting here, I think summertime is where most families live. There's so much activity. You need to water. You need to take care of your garden. And sometimes, oh gosh, you forget this and you forget that. It's a really, really busy time. And when there's hot spells, it's also a time when there's a lot of, I don't know, sweating to be done about life in general. But this is what we know about physical soil. When soil becomes hard or dry, the plant roots struggle to absorb the things they need for life. Water, air, nutrients. That leads to really poor growth or wilting. And we can remedy this by watering deeply. But this is what I've had to learn. And again, Mr. Chris is a better gardener than I am. The minute the heat hits at noonday, guess what I do? I run to the garden hose and I put the water on the flowers. And if Mr. Chris is home, he says, remember, it's better for your soil and for the plants to receive this water in the cool of the day. Interesting Bible verse in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 10. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. But they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Isn't it interesting that God looked for Adam and Eve in the coolest time of the day? You know, when you've had a heat wave, and finally in the late evening or beginning of the night, the windows are open and the cool air breezes through, aren't you better able to receive anything from anyone? At that time, we are most relaxed and comfortable. Summertime in our hearts is a time to get that steady stream of water into our hearts. We get so busy just with doing life work that we sometimes forget taking that time for refreshing with God is necessary. You know, last year or earlier this year, when I was preaching and giving a message, I told you about this app that I had been listening to. I think it was called Lecto Divino. And in the evening, before I went to bed, I would listen to this man, sometimes a woman, leading us through different steps to quiet our hearts. And then before I fell asleep with God's word and words of life-giving words of affirmation. And my sleep and my rest was so great. But there is a time when I forgot to do that, and I don't have that same refreshing. Sometimes we're like Adam and Eve. We hide from God. We forget that when he comes into the cool garden, it's not to reprimand us or make us afraid that he's going to say, "What have you been up to?" in that way. The secret in keeping a quiet heart in the summer season is to trust in God's love for us. And how can we trust someone if we don't really know them? I look at our beautiful grandchildren, and it took time for Chris and I to build a relationship with them so that they could trust us enough that when their mom and dad left, they would feel safe with us. Trust takes time to develop. But when we do that, when we get to know his love for us with those moments of quiet with him, that is the deep, deep watering that we need in the summertime. And I know, as busy moms and dads, that is one of the hardest things to do during the summer season. But maybe you could even just offer a little prayer for each other before you fall asleep. There are ways that even very busy people can do this. And Chris and I have just talked about how we remembered our busy summer season with our growing kids. It's not easy. And I don't want to lecture anyone about this, but just say there's a possibility. There is this possibility to get that deep, deep water into your heart and soul. And it starts by trusting in God's love for us. That takes us to fall season. And in some ways, it's a really fun season because we get to harvest the fruits or the flowers that we've planted. And we concentrate so much on the harvest that we forget our soil needs something. And when I read about the soils in fall, the best thing to prepare for next season is amending the soil. You test it. You see, what did the crop of this year take out of the soil? Does it need more clay? Does it need more nutrients? And you know what? Rather than winter time, when we were to rest and let the microbes do the work, let the Holy Spirit do the work, this is a time when we need to partner with God and do a little work ourselves. We need to check our hearts and see, is there anything going on there that could be a little weed? Do I need to break down my heart a little bit? Do I need to allow the Holy Spirit to really, really look inside my heart? We need to pull weeds. In the natural world, we need to pull weeds, and that is not an easy task. Some of those weeds are, Chris and I call them horrible suckers, because they just go all over the place, and you pull and pull and pull, and it takes a lot of work. But by amending soil in the fall, you'll be set up for a successful spring planting. And this comes to our last point. Trust in God's power to save and to keep you. And like I said, when I started talking about fall, fear of punishment and shame keep us from confessing our faults. But this is what God's word says. Such love, God's kind of love, has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and it shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. When King David started his ministry, he started so strong, and he made this a habit. In the psalm that he wrote, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And if you recall his stories that are written in the Kings, Book of Kings, and in Samuel, you can see that this habit led to a life filled with victories and peace in his kingdom. He allowed the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, full access in his heart to pull out the weeds and make any correction that was needed. But we also know that there was a time when King David didn't do that. And in the spring, when what we have just learned, the soil should be ready for planting, when the Bible says when kings normally go out to war, he stayed behind in Jerusalem. And that led to an incident where he took another man's wife. The child that they had passed away. And I don't know why he did that. Was he bored? Was he just not satisfied with the same old, same old? But it led to something that should never have been. And the weeds in our life sometimes can seem so small. We're dissatisfied with our day. I look at what someone else is wearing, and I think, oh, I wish I could afford that. Or, I wish I had retired sooner or later. And it gives an absence of peace and joy. I want us to remember a couple of things about this season. We are not always in the same season, even when a married couple or a family. We can be in one season together and still have other things happening in our own hearts, and that's okay. But I would say to you, who are married and who are in relationships and who have families, share that with each other. Remember these four things as we close. Trust in God's presence. Trust in His sovereignty, His rule and plan for your life. Trust in His deep love and trust in His power to save and to keep you. Have a think right now in these closing moments, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. What season is your heart in right now? And the seasons could look like spring. Are you looking to a new job? Are you looking at retirement? Are you looking at a new relationship? Maybe a mission trip? A new idea for your home or job? A move to a new season or country? Seasons of our hearts can change quicker than the earth cycle of seasons. I remember one day, Mr. Chris and I, my dad came to visit. It was hot, high, middle of July. And he had asked us to drive him to visit my brother in Grand Prairie. And a snowstorm hit. It was crazy. It was the craziest thing. We were in the middle of summer. We were so unprepared for that trip. But God saw us through. So our seasons in our heart can change so quick. But remember, the seasons that God gave us, both on earth and in our heart, are for our flourishing. They are given to us to produce fruit and to give us a rich life, so that people around us, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, will see the hand and the touch of God on your life. I was going to pray for you, but instead, I'm going to read some scriptures over you as my prayer, God's prayer for you, a gift of blessing. So what I ask you to do is close your eyes, if you can, and receive this word, because my words are so inadequate, but the word of God is powerful. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is pleasant. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me, and even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. In the book of Numbers, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. We read in Philippians, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. In Isaiah, we read, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who says to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you. And in 3 John, beloved, God is saying to you, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Dear family, I love you. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.